You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible League International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to day 334. We're continuing in the book of Daniel. And if you remember, the new Babylonian king, King Belshazzar, sees a vision from God. Basically, a hand comes in and writes letters on the wall, but nobody can read it. And the queen knows that Daniel is the one to ask. And so in Daniel chapter 5, Daniel will come in and interpret those words on the wall. And when he finishes, King Belshazzar will wish he never knew what they meant. But people are impressed with Daniel, and he tends to do well in the Babylonian Empire. That is, until a new ruler comes along, and his name is Darius. And although he likes Daniel, some of the high officials don't appreciate Daniel's high position. So they set a trap that'll end up throwing Daniel into the lion's den. And back then, the lion's den was no petting zoo. It was an execution chamber. But what happens next not only shocks Darius and all the high officials, but changes Babylonian policy from that day forward. And in the New Testament, we're beginning the book of 1 John. I'll give a more detailed introduction later in this episode. And one thing you should know is it wasn't exactly written by John. It's written by someone known as the Elder. And there are three small letters that he writes. We'll begin with the first letter in this episode that briefly talks about Jesus being the light. And that is important that believers are part of that Christian community. It shows that you're right with God. And the only way you can show that you're not right with God is if you admit to God that you don't have any sins. But if you do admit your sins, well, then you're part of the club. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry. And you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. Then Daniel answered the king,
"King Belshazzar, you can keep your gifts for yourself, or you can give them to someone else. But I will still read the writing on the wall for you and explain what it means. King, God Most High made your father Nebuchadnezzar a very great and powerful king and gave him great wealth. The people of every race, nation, and language were very frightened of him because God made him a very powerful king. Nebuchadnezzar killed those he wanted to kill and let those who pleased him live. He caused some people to be honored and others to be disgraced. But Nebuchadnezzar became proud and stubborn, so his power was taken away from him. He was taken off his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Then Nebuchadnezzar was forced to go away from people. His mind became like the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like an ox. He became wet with dew. These things happened to him until he learned his lesson. He learned that God Most High rules over human kingdoms and that he gives them to anyone he wants. But Belshazzar, you already knew this. You are Nebuchadnezzar's son, but still you have not made yourself humble. Instead, you have turned against the Lord of heaven. You ordered the drinking cups from his temple to be brought to you. Then you and your royal officials, your wives and your slave women, drink wine from those cups. You gave praise to the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. They are not really gods. They cannot see or hear or understand anything. But you did not give honor to the God who has the power over your life and everything you do. So because of that, God sent the hand that wrote on the wall. These are the words that were written on the wall.
Many, many. Tekel, a parson.
This is what these words mean. Mene, God has counted the days until your kingdom will end. Tekel, You have been weighed on the scales and found not good enough. A parson, your kingdom is being taken from you. It will be divided among the Medes and Persians.
Then Belshazzar gave an order for Daniel to be dressed in purple clothes. A gold chain was put around his neck, and he was appointed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very same night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was killed. A man named Darius the Mede became the new king. Darius was about 62 years old. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel and the Lions. Darius thought it would be a good idea to choose 120 regional rulers to be in charge of the different parts of his kingdom. He chose three men to serve as supervisors over the 120 regional rulers to keep any of them from cheating him. Daniel was one of these three men, and he proved himself to be a better supervisor than any of the others. He did this by his good character and great ability. The king was so impressed with Daniel that he planned to make him ruler over the whole kingdom. But when the other supervisors and the regional rulers heard about this, they were very jealous. They tried to find reasons to accuse Daniel, so they watched what Daniel did as he went about doing the business of the government. But they could not find anything wrong with him, so they could not accuse him of doing anything wrong. Daniel was a man people could trust. He did not cheat the king, and he worked very hard. Finally, they said,
"We will never find any reason to accuse Daniel of doing something wrong. So we must find something to complain about that is connected to the law of his God."
So the two supervisors and the regional rulers went as a group to the king. They said,
"King Darius, live forever. The supervisors, high officials, regional rulers, advisors, and governors have all agreed on something. We think that the king should make this law and that everyone must obey it. For the next 30 days, whoever prays to any god or man except you, king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Now, king, have this law written down and sign it so that it cannot be changed. Make it like the other laws of the Medes and Persians that cannot be canceled or changed."
So King Darius had this law written down, and he signed it. Daniel heard that this new law had been signed, but he went home and continued to pray, as he had always done. Three times a day, he knelt down in the upper room of his house, with the windows open towards Jerusalem. There he knelt down and prayed, giving thanks to God. Then the supervisors and regional rulers went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and talked to him about the law he had made. And they said,
"King Darius, you signed a law that says for the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, the king, would be thrown into the lion's den. You did sign that law, didn't you?"
The king answered,
"Yes, I signed that law. And the laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be canceled or changed."
Then they said to the king,
"That man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is not paying attention to you or the law you signed. He still prays to his God three times a day."
The king became very sad and upset when he heard this. He decided to save Daniel, so he worked until sunset, trying to think of a way to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him,
"Remember, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians says that no law or command signed by the king can ever be canceled or changed."
So King Darius gave the order. They brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel,
"May the God you serve save you."
He placed a large stone over the opening of the lion's den and sealed it with clay. Then the king used his ring the rings of his royal officials to stamp the seal so that no one can move the stone and get Daniel out. Then King Darius went back to his house. He did not eat that night. He did not want anyone to come and entertain him. He could not sleep all night. The next morning, King Darius got up just as it was getting light and ran to the lion's den. He was very worried. When he got to the lion's den, he called to Daniel. He said,
"Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God been able to save you from the lions? You always serve your God."
Daniel answered,
"King, live forever! My God sent his angel to save me. The angel closed the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, because my God knows I am innocent. I never did anything wrong to you, King."
King Darius was very happy. He told his servants to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. And when Daniel was lifted out of the den, they did not find any injury on his body. The lions did not hurt Daniel, because he trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to bring the men who had accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den, together with their wives and children. The lions attacked them before they hit the floor and ate their bodies, bones and all. Then King Darius wrote this letter to the people of every race, nation, and language in the world.
"Greetings. I am making a new law. This law is for people in every part of my kingdom. All of you must fear and respect the God of Daniel. Daniel's God is the living God. He lives forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. God helps and saves people. He does amazing miracles in heaven and on earth. He saved Daniel from the lions."
So Daniel was successful during the time Darius was king, and when Cyrus the Persian was king. 1 John, an introduction. The book of 1 John is not like the other letters in the New Testament that are addressed to certain churches or individuals. 1 John is more like a sermon from a preacher, and this preacher sees the world in a clear way. People either love God or they don't. This kind of black and white language is similar to the wisdom writings in the book of Proverbs. Like the Old Testament wisdom books, 1 John talks about how people should live. If someone knows Jesus, they will live the way God wants by loving others. To illustrate this way of living, the book of 1 John describes God as light and as a father. No one can say that darkness is light, and no one can call a stranger father. So because God is light, we cannot walk in darkness. And because God is our father, we cannot live as if we are not his children. These are clear ideas that anyone can understand. The writer of 1 John also deals with the problem of believers being separated by disagreements. Many had left the group, so he writes to help those who remain feel sure that they really are God's children. And as God's children, they must be like God in the way they live. They must always do what is right, and they must love each other. He also wants to make sure they know that they have received the true teaching, the same teaching that has been handed down from the beginning of the church. The book of 1 John teaches that Jesus is the word of life and that God is light, so live in his light. And then it teaches that God is our Father, so live as his children. And finally, we can be sure that God listens to us. Let's get started. 1 John chapter 1. I want to tell you about the word that gives life, the one who was there from the beginning. This is the one we have heard and have seen with our own eyes. We see what he did, and our hands touched him. Yes, the one who is life was shown to us. We saw him, and so we can tell others about him. We now tell you about him. He is the eternal life that was with God the Father and was shown to us. We are telling you about what we have seen and heard because we want you to have fellowship with us. The fellowship we share together is with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. We write these things to you so that you can be full of joy with us. God forgives our sins. We heard the true teaching from God. Now we tell it to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. So if we say that we share in life with God, but we continue living in darkness, we are liars. We don't follow the truth. We should live in the light where God is. If we live in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood sacrifice of Jesus, God's Son, washes away every sin and makes us clean. If we say that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and have rejected the truth. But if we confess our sins, God will be faithful to His promise to forgive us and cleanse us from all the wrong things we have done. If we say that we have not sinned, we are saying that God is a liar and we have rejected His teaching. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. My dear children, I write this letter to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone sins, we have Jesus Christ to help us. He always does what is right, so He is able to defend us before God the Father. Jesus is the way our sins are taken away, and He is the way all people can have their sins taken away too. We can be sure that we know God if we obey Him. If we say we know God but do not obey His commands, we are lying. The truth is not in us. But when we obey God's teaching, His love is truly working in us. This is how we know that we are living in Him. If we say we live in God, we must live the way Jesus lived. Jesus told us to love others. My dear friends, I am not writing a new command to you. It is the same command you have had since the beginning. The command is the teaching you have already heard. But what I write is also a new command. It is a true one. You could see its truth in Jesus and in yourselves. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Someone might say, I am in the light. But if they hate any of their brothers or sisters and God's family, they are still in the darkness. Those who love their brothers and sisters live in the light, and there is nothing in them that will make them do wrong. But whoever hates their brother or sister is in darkness. They live in darkness. They don't know where they are going because the darkness has made them blind. Psalm chapter 136, verses 1 through 12. Praise the Lord because He is good. His faithful love will continue forever. Praise the God of gods. His love will continue forever. Praise the Lord of lords. His faithful love will continue forever. Praise Him who alone does wonderful miracles. His faithful love will continue forever. Praise the one who used wisdom to make the skies. His faithful love will continue forever. He spread the land over the sea. His faithful love will continue forever. He made the great lights. His faithful love will continue forever. He made the sun to rule the day. His faithful love will continue forever. He made the moon and stars to rule the night. His faithful love will continue forever. He killed the firstborn males in Egypt, both men and animals. His faithful love will continue forever. He took Israel out of Egypt. His faithful love will continue forever. He used His powerful arms and strong hands. His faithful love will continue forever. Thank you, everyone. That was day 334. Join us for day 335. We'll pick up in Daniel chapter 7. We're going to move away from all the fascinating stories of Daniel and all the different leaders of Babylon as we begin to look at the interesting and amazing visions that Daniel has. This one starting with four winds and four different beasts that come out of the sea. And then a horn blows, which ushers in the Ancient One, otherwise known as God, wearing snow-white clothing and a white woolly mane of hair. And his throne slash chariot is made of fire. There's a lot more to see, so make sure you join us. And we'll continue in the book of 1 John. Is believing in Jesus enough for salvation? Well, the elder will address that question in great detail. What is the one thing that if you claim to love, means you cannot and do not love God? We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.